Hillary Clinton's mother was born the exact day Congress granted women the right to vote. Not her grandmother, her mother. Let that sink in for a moment. Women's political power in America is so recent, it fits within a single lifetime. This stunning fact opens Jennifer Palmieri's Dear Madam President, written in the aftermath of the 2016 presidential campaign where she served as communications director. Palmieri thought electing the first woman president would be easier than electing the first black president. She was catastrophically wrong. What emerged from that loss wasn't just campaign analysis, but something far more profound. A letter to the future, a manifesto for the woman who will eventually shatter America's highest glass ceiling. The book asks a revolutionary question. What if women stopped trying to fit into leadership molds designed by men and instead created leadership in our own image? Waking up November 9th, 2016 felt like inhabiting a movie where the bomb actually explodes. Palmieri describes suffocating silence, like being hurled into a black hole where even speaking to fellow campaign staff felt impossible. Just 36 hours earlier, President Obama had jokingly pointed at her, "Do not mess this up." Now that universe felt lifetimes away. Palmieri thought of Hillary with devastation. Clinton had entered the race with reluctance, while staff kept assuring her everything would be fine. Hillary could feel forces lining up against her. Palmieri's thoughts also turned to her sister Dana, dying from Alzheimer's in Dallas. For months, she'd compartmentalized, Dana in one mental space, the campaign in another. Yet paradoxically, in this new world where the unimaginable happened, Palmieri found herself more solid. The anxiety about post-campaign value vanished November 8th. She realized that after campaign trappings are stripped away, all she needed for value was putting her best effort into something meaningful. After Hillary's concession speech, supporters asked, "Where was this Hillary during the campaign?" Palmieri smiled, thinking, "Of course you loved it. That's what's acceptable for a woman to do. Concede." The difference wasn't in Clinton's words, but what she represented. No longer an ambitious woman pushing forward, but a gracious loser putting country first, a role we're comfortable seeing women in. When Palmieri joined the campaign, she didn't think electing the first woman president would be difficult. She was wrong twice. She didn't appreciate the historical significance, and she didn't recognize that attacks on Hillary stemmed from her being a woman. Move forward, draw fire, a Secret Service joke that was painfully true. Since her Wellesley commencement landed her on Life magazine's cover, Hillary had been challenging norms. The governor's wife who kept her name and out-earned her husband. The first lady in the West Wing. The first woman senator. Presidential candidate. Secretary of State. She constantly stepped outside traditional confines, confounding Americans because there was no model to compare her to. Most Americans believed Hillary could do the job. The hurdle was accepting a woman's ambition to be in charge. Polling showed her ambition needed framing as in service to others. Otherwise, it was off-putting. People loved that she worked for Obama after losing to him. See? Not selfish? Palmieri has entered some of the world's most powerful rooms. The Oval Office, Checkers, No. 10 Downing Street, the Kremlin. She speaks up for those who fought to secure her place there, and for women still seeking access. In Clinton's White House, she felt privileged to be in the room, but in Obama's White House, she learned speaking up was a responsibility. President Obama would specifically ask for opinions from those who hadn't spoken, often women, because he genuinely wanted to know what they thought. "You are in the room? Speak up," he once told a female colleague. "There is no other room." The email controversy was inescapable. Goalposts kept moving, first establishing it was legal, then explaining why she did it, then admitting it was a mistake. When a reporter asked if Hillary owed Americans an apology, Palmieri realized they didn't want an apology. They wanted a confession to a crime she didn't commit. TSIGL, "There's something about her I just don't like." The same thing people said 25 years ago, before any controversy. By October, the campaign felt like a Batman movie. Trump as lead villain, with Putin and Assange as sidekicks, Comey as the ambiguous Catwoman character, with the world's fate at stake. On election night, when Palmieri told Huma Abedin that Trump would likely win, Huma just nodded, the same stoic nod they'd given throughout the campaign. This is how women have adapted, proving toughness while maintaining duty. Women feel compelled to be superwomen, fulfilling traditional expectations while adding aspirations. Men built the professional world with rules comfortable for them, and women have tried to follow, being obliging, calm, diligent, emotionally controlled. But it's not a man's world anymore. It's our world now, and we should change how the game is played. At the Harvard postmortem, the Trump team gloated. When asked about Steve Bannon, Palmieri couldn't hold back. The press called it a shouting match where she choked up, three strikes, no grace, accusations of racism, and tears. But she doesn't regret it. In Clinton's White House, her office was known as the crying room, where staff could release stress. Both men and women used it without stigma. A woman can be both strong and emotional. Hillary Clinton doubted her life story would resonate with voters. Unlike Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz, who emphasized refugee narratives, Hillary lacked a dramatic arc. Americans connected with Bill Clinton's rags-to-riches journey and Barack Obama's message of hope both fit recognizable American dream templates. Hillary grew up middle class in Park Ridge, Illinois, without remarkable struggles. She was a Goldwater girl turned progressive, a Yale law graduate who chose public service, a first lady who refused to simply serve tea. Throughout the campaign, Hillary faced contradictory advice. Project strength, but don't be shrill. Show passion without shouting. Appear strong, yet vulnerable. As she noted, no one could name a single woman leader who does it exactly right. Angela Merkel was too stoic, Theresa May too rigid, Julia Gillard too aggressive. After the election, Hillary wrote what happened, despite critics saying she should stay quiet. Her struggles with double standards are now part of America's history, and when future women run for president, their stories will be something we recognize because Hillary Clinton helped write that chapter first. During September 2016 debate prep, Palmieri reminded Hillary of her resilience. After 25 years of relentless attacks, emails, Benghazi, FBI investigations, WikiLeaks, she remained standing. Look at them and marvel at how frustrated these Republicans are that they can't take you down. Whether you're defeated is your choice. Defeat means cowering when attacked, giving up, losing hope. Hillary lost the election but refused to be defeated. Elizabeth Edwards, Palmieri's close friend, exemplified this spirit. After losing her 16-year-old son Wade in a car accident, Elizabeth described her mind as a chalkboard wiped clean. She deliberately chose what to put back, having two more children who brought her joy. Through cancer and public infidelity, she stood in the storm, and when the wind did not blow her away, she adjusted her sails. Before dying in 2010, Elizabeth asked Palmieri to share a final message. In the simple act of living with hope, and in the daily effort to have a positive impact in the world, the days I do have are made all the more meaningful and precious. This story ends where it started, election night 2016. Women aren't just running for office in record numbers, they're winning. Having survived that unprecedented scene, we can write our own happy ending. From now on, we decide what's possible.